Our second scripture lesson this morning is taken from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 through 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, give us each daily our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine is on a journey and has come to me, and I don't have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Such a simple subject. How do you pray? And of course, that's followed by, when do you pray? And once in a while, people say, well, why? Why bother? Why pray? Caroline Lewis is a professor at Luther Seminary in St. Paul. She reminds us that those precious words, "how much more," at the very end of the scripture lesson today, how much more? Actually, are the key to the whole section about prayer. How much more? How much more will God give you? If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father know what to give you? It speaks to almost all the issues surrounding prayer. How much more? When we ourselves ask how much more from our disillusionment or disappointment, God says, "How much more do you think I love you? I gave you my only son who suffered and died on your behalf. How much more do you think I love you? How much more?" Sometimes prayer is not an issue in our lives at all until we find ourselves in Bob's little illustration with the little boy who prays at night because the darkness is where the fear is. He doesn't pray in the daytime, right? And we neglect prayer because, let's face it, we know how to handle things, right? We've got it all under control, don't we? Two men were walking together, the first challenged the other one, "Okay, if you're so religious, let's hear you quote the Lord's Prayer. I bet you $10 you can't say the Lord's Prayer." The second responded this way, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." The first man pulled out his wallet and fished out a $10 bill. "I didn't think you could do it." It's a silly little story, but yet there's so much truth in it. The average person walking down the street, could they tell the difference between the Lord's Prayer and that little children's prayer that we all learn? I know with confidence that each and every one in this room can recite the Lord's Prayer. We just did it a few moments ago, right? Our faith is a praying faith. And we pray because our Savior prayed. Still, a lot of people are hesitant. They feel that, oh, you know, I don't want to offend God. I want to make sure I get everything right. But you know, nowhere in the Bible does it say that you've got to get everything right in order for God to hear your prayer. Jesus prayed, and we know from the accounts in the Gospels that he had very little spare time. He usually would get up before everyone else and slip off to a quiet place and spend a lot of time in prayer. Jesus made prayer a high priority. And of course, if Jesus made it a high priority, what does that say to us? As his disciples, we need to make prayer a priority in our daily lives. Jesus would go to a quiet place and spend much time in prayer. Where is your quiet place? You know, one of the blessings that I have right now is the commute down here. I can spend an hour in prayer. Now, I'd be hard-pressed to do that if I was sitting in my living room or in my own home. But in the quietness of an automobile going down the road, it's a perfect time. So Luke tells us this story of how on one of his occasions when Jesus was praying, the disciples came and said, "Teach us." So Jesus taught them this very simple prayer. That's been embellished. As you notice, there was quite a difference between what Luke has Jesus teaching them and what we usually pray and have come to know as the Lord's Prayer. I won't get into where all these embellishments came from, but the basic prayer is still there. And the prayer begins with God, something to remember, and an acknowledgement of God's priorities for the world. Father, it not only acknowledges God, but God's position as the one over us, the one who cares for us. Prayer is communication and communion with our Heavenly Father. You know, one of the first stories that you read in Genesis after the story of creation is that God used to love to walk through the garden in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. God treasured that time of fellowship with Adam and Eve. God still treasures that time of fellowship with us. If we just get it in our heads that this is, our God loves us so much, he wants that time of fellowship. If you deny that time of fellowship, what kind of relationship do you have with God? What kind of relationship do you expect from God? To pray is to honor that relationship that God initiated at very high cost with each and every one of us. God is the friend we didn't know until we came to know that he suffered terribly so we could be in his a relationship with him. We are in a loving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So how do you begin a conversation with someone with whom you share a loving relationship? You begin the conversation with a focus on them, don't you? You want to know their status. How you doing? Their priorities. How are things at work? Their trials. Are you getting any relief for that illness? Then you share your own. Have you ever been in an encounter with a friend where the focus of the conversation is entirely about them? I've had so many of those conversations. I'm sure you have too. Suddenly, people are gushing about everything that is happening in their lives. They never bother to ask how you are or what's happening in your life. So how do you feel when you walk away? How do you think God feels when we do the same to him, when we gush about all of our needs, all of our wants, but never once just sit quietly and listen for what God has to say? I mean, prayers are, God, I need this. God, please do that. God, I'm afraid. Or God, help me. Jesus teaches us to begin with God. Our Father, hallowed. We hallow your name, Lord. You are the superior being, our creator, redeemer, and the sustainer of our lives. Addressing God as Father personalizes and honors the intimacy of that relationship. Remember what the psalmist says. This is a God who knew us while we were being formed in our mother's womb, who knows us on a deeper level than any being could. So every conversation with God should begin with a kind of honor and respect. Do. Then Jesus taught us we should acknowledge God's intentions in his world, express our commitment to work with God in the fulfillment of his will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, you converse with a good friend. You know what kind of priorities they have in their lives. You want to show concern and support for their priorities. How's the new construction coming? How's the baby? Are your children thriving? Is your mom feeling any better? Is there anything I can do to help? Then, and only then, does the conversation need to turn to our needs. We ask, Jesus says, first for sustenance. Not forever, not for tomorrow, but today. God, supply our need today. Just as God provided the manna for the nation of Israel during the Exodus, it's a daily faith thing. Our prayer should be a daily faith thing. The implication is that we're not to worry about tomorrow, but look to God each day for provision for that particular day. Next on our list of priorities is forgiveness. Forgiveness for our sins and the need to forgive others who have sinned against us. Forgiveness is a daily need, just like the food. We Presbyterians like to use the word debtors. And I can say with a little pride that that's almost a direct translation of the Greek in the New Testament. So we're the ones that got it right. The trespassers are, they're trespassing there. But I won't get into that argument. The Greek verb, however, has to do with let go, leave, give up a debt. That's essentially what the Greek word translates as, to give up a debt. So God, when we're praying the Lord's Prayer, we ask, forgive us our sins as we forgive others who've sinned against us. Forgive us our debts. We owe a debt because of our sin. Your sin is an offense to God. And then finally, the third issue is we need God's provision to fight temptation. The Bible is clear that God allows temptation sometimes as a test in our lives and as a learning device. Now, we've all been tripped up at one time or another. And you wonder, why do we pray for God not to lead us into temptation or to test us? Think about the trial of Abraham. He probably was the one who inspired that part of the Lord's Prayer. Remember, Abraham was asked to take Isaac and place him on an altar and get ready to sacrifice him to God. And Abraham sorely was tempted not to do it, but still he followed, and God delivered him. Finally, the whole prayer that Jesus taught provides a context. We begin with looking to God as our Heavenly Father, looking to what God's will is for our lives, acknowledging that we have trespassed against God and created a debt that we cannot pay. And like Caroline Lewis says, how much more can God do? How much more? God answers us, increasing our strength, blessing our soul, because how much more is something God does daily. Think about it, providing our sustenance, our bread, so to speak, blessing our lives in so many ways, bringing healing. Jesus is speaking, finally, in the little story that he told that I related to the children, that we are to be persistent in our prayers, like the man who just won't give up, keeps banging on the door at midnight. And it's not the only time that Jesus encouraged people with persistence in prayer. Now, when Jesus says persistence, he's not talking about every day for a week, every day for a month. I often tell the story of a young couple that were members of my church. The husband was a very devout young man, and they had two children. The wife had some terrible experiences as a child. She was forced to go to church, and she was beaten because when she went to church, she squirmed and talked too much, and she had bad memories of church. So she would not darken the door of the church. So her husband came alone, and he brought the children, and he asked me repeatedly. I knew this couple for many, many years. He asked me repeatedly, just pray for my wife. Somehow we got to get her. Somehow I want this family to be together when we go to church. And so I did. I took this on as a project. I prayed constantly, week after week. And I would see this man's wife from time to time. She was prominent in the community, and we worked together on some various projects. And yet, I saw no response. I thought, you know, God's just not answering my prayers. But yet something kept telling me, and I guess Jesus kept telling me, don't give up, don't give up. And as it turns out, this woman was a professional, and her particular profession was needed on a medical mission trip. It turned out that they had a person who was ill at the last minute, and the local coordinator of this mission trip to Haiti called her and said, we're in a pinch, we need a professional. I know you're not a church member, and apparently they knew that her opposition to faith, but they said, please just come with us, we're going there to save lives. So they went to Haiti and they ministered. And on that trip, being amongst a bunch of praying Christians, this woman came back to Christ, came back to the Lord. My prayers, her husband's prayers, were answered. But that was only after at least 8 years of praying. So when Jesus says, keep it up, be persistent, 8 years is small. You know, I know of grandmothers who've been praying for their grandchildren, you know, for 20, 30 years. And that prayer is effective. God answers prayers, and the longer you knock, the more you ask, the more likely God is to give. Now, there are other answers that God could give. Somewhere along the line, sometimes we pray for things, and we don't know. We don't know what we do not know, and God does not answer, and at least is not answering in the way that we expect. But then it dawns upon us that we're praying for something that was irrelevant to the fullness of the situation. God looks down on it in full knowledge of what's going on, but sometimes we don't have that full knowledge. We have to just trust God. And yes, we can keep on praying, or we can let the Holy Spirit show us. Maybe we're not thinking about this thing right, and maybe we need to be praying in a different way with a different aim in mind. All of these things are worthy of our concern because Jesus taught us to pray. It is one of the things that we carry through. We have turned Jesus' baptism into a sacred motion in our church, a sacred action that we do. We've turned the Last Supper into a sacred action. It is just as sacred to pray. It is just as holy and just as important as anything else that we do as a church. Pray. The Apostle Paul, I want to add one more thing. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians, I was just reminded of the scripture, the 6th chapter of Ephesians, said, put on the full armor of God, faith, righteousness, all of those things. Put on the full armor of God. And then finally, at the very end, Paul says, and pray. Don't pray just for yourself, but pray for your church. Pray for your individual members. They don't have to be sick and on our prayer list. In fact, what Paul says, it's better to be praying for one another before something happens. To be the kind of people that pray your church and its church members and bless that church through your prayers. And it's amazing what can be done. I'll stop there. Praise God. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for having this relationship with us. And as a matter, let this be the beginning of a new era in our lives today where we maintain that relationship with you in prayer. Please hear our prayers. Prompt us to pray. Give us time in our busy schedules and inspire us to pray, for we you answer prayers. And we give you the praise, glory, and honor for that. In Jesus' name, amen.